You're listening to City Church Long Beach Sermons. Visit us at citychurchlongbeach.org.
Today we're talking about generosity. Actually, I think I heard the word generosity like 5 times in the announcements alone. So apparently it's important, but the reality is generosity is tough. It's hard. It's hard to do. So what we're going to do today is we're actually going to walk through just a small story found in the Gospel of Mark. We're going to take our time looking at the setting, looking at the characters involved, and I think it might have something to say to all of us. So what we're going to do is I'm just going to go ahead and read this, but it's coming from Mark chapter 14, verses 3 through 9. And it says this, and we normally do the stand up and then the blah, 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 and that's great, I love it, but we're just going to keep this flowing. Does that sound good to you guys? And here's the other thing, in honor of VBS coming up, I might pull out some, tools where I force you to participate with me, just so that way I know you're not falling asleep on me, and that we're all really engaged and having a good time. Are you down? That was one of those tricks. I just pulled it out right now where I asked you a question and had a really simple answer of just like, yeah, yeah, and you get excited. So we'll try that again. Are you guys down? Yeah. Okay. Wow, good crowd. I like this. Feels warm. So Mark 14, starting in verse 3, it says this. While he was in Bethany, we're talking about Jesus, as you might guess. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume?" This is the voice I like to give to these types of questions. "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. Jesus responds, "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them at any time you want. But you will not always have me. She did what she could. She poured perfume on my head beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Now, sad that they couldn't figure out her name, right? The story's told, but no names. What the heck? But regardless of that, we're going to start, as any good story, you have some major, devices used to tell a story. And first is setting. The setting is actually really interesting in this point. So Bethany, it's in the realm of, Jerusalem in Israel, highly Jewish area. But notice what it says, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper. Not the leopard, that would be cool, right? But leper is a little worse. Leper, if you don't know, is the term given to someone with leprosy. Leprosy, although we have a more distinct idea of what that is now, it's also known as Hansen's disease. Back then, it was kind of this catch-all for basically, your skin looks gross, we don't want to touch you. And in fact, written in the scriptures in Leviticus, you have this whole list of do's and don'ts around people who have these skin maladies. And so, often the biggest, quickest thing that was done was when you saw like a bunch of boils, in some cases with leprosy, they actually lose sensation in the extremities. So they'll like bump into things and slowly their body just really starts falling apart. It's a horrendous, horrendous thing. And so, clearly, people are thinking, stay clear of that, because it's assumed that it's contagious. Now, the other hard thing is, a lot of times, the way people thought of religion and kind of the give and take with the gods back then would have been, well, if you have that, you've certainly done something to earn it. So, all that being said, when someone had leprosy, they were considered unclean and were cast out from the community. So, do you think a lot of people were thinking, hey, did you all hear Larry became a leper? Let's go to his house, huh? Let's go. Not you, Larry. Yeah, I just saw you in the background. No, because that's where he's, you know, he's sitting on everything. That's his home. That's where he dwells. And so if there's any place to maybe contract leprosy, if there's any place that is unclean, it is the house of a leper. Do you guys get that? Are you with me? And Jesus is there. This spiritual leader, this teacher, the Son of God is there in a very unclean place. Now, why is that important? Because it immediately tells us something about the crew that Jesus is with. It tells us that if they're there eating with him and eating in this location, they're already getting pushed out of their comfort zone, right? They're already starting to see the world maybe a little differently. And they follow Jesus into this house that should be unclean, should be totally off limits, and now they are there eating a meal. So these people are pretty risky, pretty bold, and are actually following Jesus. So then, we get to some of our characters that we're working with. First, we have the woman. Say, the woman. The woman. We'll try that one more time. This will be good. First, we have the woman. Say, the woman.
The woman.
Okay. So the woman, we see what she does. It's pretty clear. She is sitting there, and she goes and grabs this huge jar of perfume. And apparently, it's such a type of a jar that she not only opens it, she's breaking this thing open and pouring the whole thing on Jesus' head. Now, there's probably some cultural things going on here, because I imagine if somebody grabbed my bottle of Curve cologne, which I've used since the eighth grade, broke the bottle and started dumping it on my head, not so great. A little too much of a good thing, maybe. But here in this case, she is dumping this thing out. And the response of the other people is very negative. So we start with this woman again. So what is it that we think she's doing? She apparently, again, we don't have a lot to work with, but she apparently is so taken up with this moment. We don't know how she's in this house. We don't know how she came to know Jesus and be right there in that moment. But she's so taken up with this moment that she's like, oh, Jesus, right there. Really expensive perfume that I have. Together, right? It's this extravagant act. It's this movement. And in some ways, it's almost like childlike. It's free, right? It's unencumbered. It's just, Jesus, everything. And some of you, I don't know, I'm assuming most of you love somebody, but have you ever been in that in love stage? You know what I mean? The in love, where like all of a sudden this tiny paycheck you have suddenly has all these margins for buying things like flowers and little candies and just random stuff that all of a sudden you just feel compelled, like, oh, I just have to get that. Like, that gummy bear is cute. You know, my wife happened to have a sweet tooth. That's why I'm referencing candy a lot. So, but yeah, during that time of my life, I was so taken up that I just gave, and I gave freely, and I didn't think about the consequences. I was just giving, giving, giving. And so, again, with this woman, we get to see a portrait of somebody who's just so taken up that they do an extravagant, overzealous move. Then we have the next character, the crowd. Say, the crowd.
The crowd.
All right. So the crowd is watching all of this, and it sees the woman do this. Now, think about that scenario. Put yourself in that situation. Not only are you seeing this happen, but again, imagine full bottle of Curve cologne suddenly dumped out in a room. Like, you can't get away from it. It is in everyone's face. What this woman has done is now known. And so they respond actually with a good point, right? Now, before we vilify these people and make them, oh, they're the bad guys, remember, these are people that are following Jesus in such a way that they're already willing to go into the house of a leper. They're starting to see this world in a new way. They're starting to see, like, maybe there isn't clean and unclean. Maybe God has love for all of us. And so they enter this house, but then they see this. And they make a good point. If this bottle was truly as expensive as a year of wages, and to suddenly just have it all expended, to have it all just right on a dude's head, we might have some things to say about that. Have you noticed that we are all really great at managing how other people spend their money? It's like we see somebody make a choice and it's just like, oh, well, come on. You could have done A, you could have done B, you could have done C, you could have even saved a little bit. You know, when we see other people do these moves of extravagance, I think of wedding ring conversations. Depending on who you're talking to, it's like you hear one person and the number's higher than the one you spent, and you're like, oh, gosh, come on, man, it's just a ring. Like, my wife stopped wearing it after her pregnancy. Finger swelling. It's a reality, people. It's a reality. But, and sorry if that's throwing you under the bus, Sarah. You know, so when you hear somebody who spent way more than you, you're just like, oh, gosh, that's so superfluous. But then when somebody spends way under, you're kind of like, ooh, I'm going to not talk about what I did, right? We have this innate ability to know how other people should act, and yet we stay in debt. We have credit card debt. We have all these things. So I think, even though it is an interesting idea, right, that if you have something that costly, that you could sell and get all of a sudden access to all these resources that you could do to help the poor, that does seem like a good idea. That does seem like a good idea, but it's easy to make that choice when you're standing from a distance, when it's not your bottle of perfume, when it's not your resource to access. And so these critiques, it's amazing how they actually keep things from happening. Have you ever noticed this? That when you're like on a team and you're trying to figure out how to make something happen and somebody brings up an idea and it's like, well, you can't do this because that, that, and that. And then it's like, oh, well, you can't do this because that, that, that. And you get paralyzed by trying to find the absolute best course of action when the reality is every action has a problem. Every idea, every way to give is going to have its drawback. You're going to miss something. And so what you find in this crowd is actually a crowd that I probably reside in. I can see how a church decides to use their budget and suddenly think like, oh, well, I would have done it this way. And then maybe you bring that into a debate and you just get locked. I mean, I think actually, this is totally sidebar, but the state of Illinois, I think, is like still hasn't decided on a budget because they just can't agree. And so this state is doing whatever because these people can't agree. Because when one idea is proposed, it's immediately shot down. And we often think that this critical nature, this ability to see the holes is a strength. And there is strength to it, don't get me wrong. But it sometimes actually keeps us from ever acting at all. And so that's where the third character comes in. Jesus, can you say Jesus?
Jesus.
So Jesus, he seems to have this clear view of the whole thing. He has this clear view where he looks at this woman and he sees the excitement, he sees the exuberance, and he just thinks, yes. I love that heart. I love that spirit. And although it's harder, it's a little more nuanced, I think he sees the crowd and says, yeah, be thinking about the poor. In fact, let me remind you that the poor are always going to be around you. They're always going to be around you. And when you have a resource, maybe you should do something. Maybe this moment will cause you to think, what do I have at home that I could sell? What do I have that I could do this? But he sees the big picture, and he sees this woman who goes all out, takes a risk, and is immediately criticized. And friends, that's the reality of it. When we do extravagant acts, when we strive to do something bigger, it's going to be criticized. Our friends are going to think less of us. It just happens. And that critique comes from a million of different places. Maybe it is actual wisdom that's like, well, that was actually a poor way to do that. Sometimes it's actually, dang it, they did something and I didn't. And I need to defend myself. And the way I defend that is by criticizing how they did it. And Jesus sees through all of that and he says, actually, there's a greater way. And so really, with these three characters, what are they? First was the woman. Second was the, and third? I think these actually are our markers for different spots that we reside in this journey of being generous people. Thankfully, I think all of us had opportunities, whether it was when we were a kid and we made the best macaroni necklace we could and gave it to our moms, or whether it came later in life where we took a risk and we gave more money than we ever thought we could. And it was just crazy. You were just caught up in that moment. I think we've also been in the place of the crowd, right? Where we see these acts of giving. We see others' generosity. I remember how remember when Oprah gave away a ton of cars? And it's like, and you get a car, and you get a car, you get a car. And I heard so many of my brothers and sisters in Christianity say like, well, you know, she's like of the devil, right? Right? There's just like, she doesn't talk about Jesus the way we want her to talk. She does, you know, it just gets all tangled up, and pretty quick it's like, well, that's Oprah, right? And it's this huge, lavish gift, and it's like almost like, I think Jesus would say, who cares? What a cool thing for that audience. They got cars. And we stand back and think, either we wish we were in the crowd that got those cars, or we're quickly thinking of like, well, they didn't do it the best way. They didn't do it the best way. And what I would say is Jesus then sits in the third spot, this spot of wisdom, that is able to see the beauty in the lavish gift and also see the wisdom of the right critique. And that's where I think as we are growing in our spirituality, as we are growing in who we are and how we follow Jesus, that's the place we are heading. Where we actually hear those critiques and hear the truth in them, but don't let it stop us. That we keep moving forward, that we recognize that there is something beautiful happening when I take what is rightfully mine and hand it over. There's something beautiful happening. There's something beautiful when we get so wrapped up in it that we start asking crazy questions like, can I give more? And so, I honestly think this is a short sermon today. Because we find ourselves probably in one of these three spaces any given day with how we're viewing our resources. And honestly, part of the reason why I get caught up in the crowd that says, you shouldn't have done that, is because the way I think about my resources, the way I think about my bank account, is that's way too small. I don't have enough. I just don't have enough. You look at these, when the crowd responds to her, they're saying, why this waste? You could have done this. You could have done that. You could have sold it. You could have given it. You could have. And they're focused on what this other person has and not what they themselves have. I do this all the time. And again, the beauty of the woman was she was actually focused on what she had. In that moment, she had Jesus right there. In that moment, she had this perfume bottle right there. And when you are that focused on what you have, the plenty that's in your life, giving lavishly, extravagant acts become so much easier. So what I want to invite us all to do is, where are you at? When you look at your life, when you look at the resources you have, do you think, man, I have so much. I have been given so much, whether it's actual numbers in your bank account to just the privilege you have of your growing up, to the experiences that you've been given, to the friends that you have surrounding you. Are you focused on the plenty in your life, or are you focused on what you lack? Because when you focus on that, you just can't give. It hurts too much. It seems too stupid. Because how can I give what I don't have? And I think what Jesus is inviting us to is this idea that we have way more than we could ever understand. So much so that if even we give and it's awkward, it's maybe too much, it causes a stir among everybody else, that he stands there and he's just like, this is beautiful. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the fact that, honestly, even just the fact that we are here today in this country, most of us were probably able to drive here. We have a lot. And so I pray that you would give us new eyes to see the world in a way where we get caught up in such a way that we want to give. That we want to give more and more and more. I also pray for those of us who right now, it just feels way too heavy. That to think about our plenty and what we have actually feels like a lie. I pray for those of us that the bills are stacking up, that the money just doesn't seem there. And I just pray, Lord, that you would provide. I pray for amazing support to come around these people so that they would even see, even with what they don't have, there is still so much we have. Lord, ultimately, we want to be more like you, that we could see this world and find the beauty, be able to see the critique and blend them together beautifully. We pray this in your name. Amen.